Hi, I'm David Yak with Colorado Technology Consultants, and in this session we're going to cover the new OData endpoint that's available with CRM 2011. The OData endpoint is new and provides some opportunities for developers that are writing client-side scripting, things that are running in the browser, to be able to work with data on the CRM server. OData is an important concept and protocol for developers to understand for a couple reasons I'll go into as we get into the session. In the past, in prior versions of CRM, developers that wanted to write, whether it was client scripting or Silverlight code, had to format their own SOAP request to interact with the CRM service. Now with the OData endpoint, they have a consistent way of interoperating with that with the data on the server using the OData REST endpoint. It follows a REST syntax. We'll be talking more about that and seeing what that means as it goes through the rest of the session. So, why does that matter to a CRM developer? Well, there's a couple reasons. The most obvious one is for, like I talked about, for building the client-side content where you want to consume things, you want to be able to access accounts, you want to be able to access any of the entities, be able to create records, do queries, and be able to do that in a consistent way that you don't have to worry about. And I'll talk a little bit about some of that as we some of the patterns for querying and how that's made available by the REST endpoint. The other way that's interesting is, oftentimes when we build CRM solutions, we compose that from a number of things. That includes functionality that we pull in, so it could be a full service that we integrate and we, you know, put that in an iframe, or it's custom code that we build, but oftentimes it's composed through a number of services. OData offers a unique opportunity because what it does is provides a standard normalized way to query against data that's published by another source. And so in addition to systems like CRM, SharePoint also publishes an OData feed. You're also seeing a number of external companies that are publishing as well. I'll talk about that, and we'll show some examples of some of the other services we start talking about the OData protocol to start with. What is this OData? Where did it come from? You can kind of trace it back to what used to be codename Astoria. At the time, that then became Data Services, which are ADO.NET Data Services, which then also got renamed as WCF Data Services. So that's kind of the history that came up. And what happened is they were building this, they were trying to solve a particular problem. The problem they were trying to solve is when client-side developers or people consuming data needed to do queries against that, there was often some standard patterns that they followed. And if you used a traditional model, like a web service, what you'd end up doing is building a number of web service calls to support that. Get data by, you know, zip code, get data by, you know, I only want to get the first 10, I want to be able to order it. You're going to find all these methods. And what typically happened with, a normal web service is it went through this evolution as whoever was consuming it or as different consumers started using it. And it would start out with maybe one or two methods, and then they'd start expanding because those methods didn't cover all the scenarios, so they added four more, five more, and pretty soon you had a set of 10 or 20 methods you had to implement to provide querying of that data. Well, it turns out if you're querying contacts versus querying accounts, those query patterns are all the same, just replace the name. So instead of contact, replace it with account, and now you have the same query patterns that are being done over and over. And for developers, especially if you were publishing that type of thing, you had to ultimately do that over and over again. And for somebody consuming it, so I'm a developer trying to use this web service, what I typically found is that one developer built it for contact, another one built it for account, and each of them had a little bit different implementation. So as a developer, I now had to learn every time I tried to query a different data source, I had to learn how to query that and the nuances that that publisher decided to do. OData provides a consistent way of doing that. So when they built the WCF data service, which ultimately, so I'm trying to go through the history here, became the OData protocol, because what they realized is that when Microsoft produced that, not only does Microsoft have needs for that, but also the industry as a large whole has needs for that as well. And so they basically put it out there as the open data protocol and made it available for others to publish and consume. You can go to odata.org, so let's just actually pop out there real quick. This is a great site that you'll find a lot of information about OData. So what they did is the query syntax that we're talking about, so you'll see in a little bit as I start querying data, there's some standard ways that we're able to do that. These all ride on top of some other well-known protocols like Atom, Pub, as well as JSON, Java Object Serial, job object serial notation. You know, all these things basically come together to provide the plumbing to make it so that every time you query a service, whether it's produced by SharePoint, whether it's produced by CRM, that you get a consistent experience. And you can see some of these, if you look down the applications that expose OData services today, things like SharePoint, SQL Server Reporting Services, CRM's on there. You can build your own, so if you have some data that's in your organization that you want to expose, make it available for others to consume, it's very easy to publish that using WCF Data Services, which publishes an OData protocol service. The Facebook, eBay, Netflix, I mean, we could just go down the list, you get the idea. The full spec is out on this site, as well as an open client versions of it. There's also an open data explorer that provides an excellent example of generically consuming an OData service. So it's definitely worth spending some time out there. The other thing that happened is Microsoft has a product called Data Market. It used to be codenamed Dallas, if you happen to hear about it. And Data Market, what it does is basically provide a way that publishers can publish their data, their OData services, in a way that people can subscribe and consume. And this is where I think there's, like I said, there's two ways developers, CRM developers, can use OData. One, to consume the CRM data. The other is, it's a very easy, consistent way to bring in other external data from other sources. So how does this OData work? What does the protocol look like? How do we access it? In this session, we're going to talk about it very generically. So we're not going to get into technology specifics, you know, clients like a jQuery client or a Silverlight client. We're going to be just looking at how to work with the service and what it provides. There's going to be subsequent sessions that will cover that in the particular technologies, so how you might consume it, whether it's on client scripting or whether it's on Silverlight. You'll see examples of being able to do that in both of those in later sessions. So OData is very much on conventions. It has, like I said, it's a REST-based endpoint, which means basically it's very resource-defined, so as you be able to navigate this with a very consistent pattern. It uses the standard HTTP POST GET to perform operations on it. There's a number of things around the addressing. So when you're working with the OData service, and we'll jump onto CRM in a second here and look at how you get to the OData service on it, but it has some very specific things that you can know and count on. Organization Data SVC is the name of the OData endpoint on CRM. You get to it through a path. I'll show you that in a second. Once you get there, you can get to all the entity sets. So contact, for example, they all have the word set on the end of them. So if you're working with account, it's going to be account set. If you create a custom entity, Contoso_exercise-equipment-set will be the name that's provided for that. So you can still access even both the built-in entities as well as custom entities. The endpoint enforces full security, so it's based on whoever the connected user is. So you know, it's not like all of a sudden they're going to be able to query all the accounts because they're going through this. They're only going to be able to query the accounts that are available to them through that. You can go after data through a specific entity. So you can say a contact set and provide a GUID, the key of the item, to go after that particular item. You can navigate the relationship. So I can say I want to get the primary contact for this account. I can go after individual properties. Let's just jump over real quick, and I want to show a couple things here. First of all, when you work with the OData endpoint, how do you find it? So if we go over to Settings, Customizations, there's a new area on here called Developer Resources, and what you can find under here is linked to all the different endpoints. So you'll see the CRM service, which is the prior one, the organization data service, which is what we're talking about here. And if you pop this open, what you're going to get is actually a bunch of XML that represents the metadata for that. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. The way that you'd use that is when you start doing development, and we'll cover that in the session where we talk about consuming it from client-side scripting or Silverlight. But for now, what we want to be able to do is actually go query against this. If you just hit that OData endpoint specifically, what you're going to get is a service document. So notice what I went to is just organizations.svc. And it produces what this thing called a service document. And what this service document does is give you a catalog of what's available on that service. And so you can see here, if you look down the list, you have contact quotes, publishers, template sets, import, competitors, contact set. And so if we were to come in here and pick one of these, so like contact set, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a bunch of XML, and this might look familiar. In fact, if I had the feed reader turned on in the browser would think I was browsing a blog at this point. It's an Atom Pub format. It's very similar to what you might see in some of the feeds on the blogs. They have just a series of, they have a feed that tells you a little bit about the feed, and then they have entries for each of the items. In our cases, this represents instances of records in the CRM repository. And so you can see here, as I collapse these, I've gotten several of these back. They contain a number of items. For example, the first thing you're seeing here is all the relationships that are available for this. You'll also notice that if I look at, let's go back up, if I look at the ID that's provided, this provides a fully qualified, if I just use this link, I can pull up this specific entry. In fact, we'll do that in just a second. As I go down a little further, you'll see I've got all the properties available. And each of them, as they come down, they give you a type. So this is a double. And it tells me that it's a null value for that particular item. In this case, I have a GUID, I have the value, so you can kind of see how that pulls in. Now, let's go back up to this one, and let's just take this URL. Oh, we got a little extra there, we'll just trim that off. And so notice what I've got is I've got contact set, and I'm in parentheses, I'm saying GUID, and I'm giving the GUID of that particular one. And so what I've done here is I've actually just gotten back a single entity. So what that allows me to do is target. So remember, go back to my example where developers that were building web services to allow people to consume them used to have to do a number of things. One of the things they always had to do is get by ID. And so basically this provides the equivalent way of doing that. Another thing you can do with this is I can also get more specific. So I could say I want to get just the first name property back. And so by doing that, what I'm instructing it to do is go do the query, pull that one record, give me back just the first name. I can also, maybe I just want a specific value out of it, so I don't need the metadata that comes along. So here it's telling me the field name and what schema that's part of. Maybe I want to, you know, even streamline it anymore. I can just add on to that dollar value. Now, I've not had to write any code, and the same as if you were producing or publishing this, you wouldn't have to provide any code. It's just that's provided by the OData endpoint out of the box. And you know, another thing you can do, let's actually try this other query. I mentioned you can query on related items. So here what I'm doing is I'm basically coming in for specific contact with the GUID and saying contact emails. And so in this case, it looks like our contact here doesn't have any emails. So if we just go back, let's go fix that. So that what I want to show also is, you know, make sure you understand that this is querying live stuff against the system. So this is Adrian. So let's just go over to our contacts real quick. Bring up Adrian. And I'm just going to pop an email out there. Information you requested. And we'll go ahead and save that. And we'll come back over here. I'm going to add back onto there that I want to get. So what I'm saying is I want to go get the contact. And I want you to, what I really want is the related records that are on the contact emails relationship. And that's the name that was provided when I created the relationship in CRM. And so here you'll see what came back is the email we just created. A couple points. One, that you can query that related data. The other key thing is that this is a live feed. This isn't some cache thing that was generated at nighttime. This is represents the live data. What ultimately it does is proxy it through to the WCF service. So just like you were working with the WCF service, this is extending it to the client side with a consistent protocol for querying data. So there's other things that you can do with this. As you get a little more advanced, you know, go down back to my example when somebody's being asked to provide web services for this, there's usually a series of things they can are asked to do. Ordering is one of the top things. I want to be able to order it by name. I want to be able to order it by this. And oftentimes, you know, then you add another method for it or provide more parameters, and you end up with this method that either takes 20 parameters or, you know, some complex object coming in. These are just options you can pass to the REST endpoint. We'll do this in a couple couple examples here in a second. Same with paging. You can simply do skip and top to be able to say, I want to skip 10 records and take the next 10 because I'm basically pulling out a page of records to be able to present. I can also filter data. So $filter provides the way that I can say I want to filter. I may want to filter on the name of the person. I may want to. In fact, there's a whole bunch of things that you can do with filter. This is kind of a summary of the different types of filters that you can apply using the OData service. And so back to my example of the web services. You can imagine the request that the developer would get in building those. These provide a way to do that without having to write custom code. And it provides a consistent way, whether I'm querying account, whether I'm querying contact, or for that matter, whether I'm querying the TechEd session list to try to find a session that I want to attend. It all provides a consistent way of doing that. Let's go look at a couple of those. So we'll come back over here, and I've got a couple queries I want to show. So let's just start with the order by. So you'll notice in here what I'm doing is I've added on question mark $order by equals full name. And so now if I do this, I'm getting Adrian as the first one that's up there. I'm still getting multiple records back. I can add on to that descending. And so notice now I get Yvonne. So effectively, I've been able to change that just by composing the query string with the different things. I can do paging. So paging is simply done by adding top and skip to it. So in this case, what I've said is I want to take the top one after skipping two. And so you'll notice if I compress this, I only have one entity back. So I can, of course, change this. And this allows you to compose that paging on the fly. So I could say I want to skip three and take. Let's actually just change that to take three. There we go. Well, you have to be careful when you're typing. And that's a good example. You know, like if I do cause a problem here, you'll notice that you'll get this. And that, you want to kind of, add on to these, as you build that up, you want to kind of be careful what you put on there so that you don't add a whole bunch and then wonder why it's not working. Best to kind of build that query up as it goes and compose that. So here what I've done is I've done the skip and take, and I've been able to do the paging. You could obviously see how you could use that. You can combine these things together. So like I can, in this case, I'm basically saying I want to take the top one, skip two, I want to order by name descending, so I can combine these all together to get the different operations I want. And that's one of the powerful things if you were building just specific web service calls for it. You'd have to figure out how to provide those different methods and the combinations that were there. And obviously it can get out of hand pretty quickly if you were talking about doing a number of things like a couple hundred entities in a CRM system. Imagine the number of methods you'd have to provide a consistent interface across all of them. I can also use the filter. So we talked about that a little bit briefly, and I showed some of them. Here's an example. I want to filter on where the full name is equal to Susan Burke. And what that does is allow me to get specifically to that one entity using the filter. I can also do that to query a number of them. You can use multiple filters, so you're not limited to pulling things together. So in this case, I'm querying by Susan Burke or Sue Burke, and I want the annual income to have a value of, 5,000. So the idea here is that, or greater than 5,000, I should say. You can combine these together. It's quite flexible in being able to pull those together, and what ends up happening is those end up becoming composed on the server side, ultimately are translated into a CRM query, queries against the CRM data, all the processing rules, the security rules are applied, and the data you get back reflects the end result of that. Another interesting one is I can query related data. So in this case, I may want to go after my contact, but imagine if I also wanted to include the account information along with it. So in other words, I don't have to do, get the contact, then go get the account. What I want to do is get the contact and have the account data right there available. So what I'm saying is I'm using the $expand option. The $expand allows me to specify a relationship that I want to pull the records from. So if I pull this out and I get Adrian, if we scroll down a little bit, you'll see that there's a inline feed. And that inline feed represents my account primary contact that I pulled. And in this case, it's a store, and you have all the same thing, the properties. It's just it's a related entity being retrieved at the same time from that. So a lot of power in being able to compose those together. You can also specify your fields. So if you don't want to get back, so if I want to query against contact, but I don't want to get back the full set of properties that are available on that entity, I can be very specific. I want just fields A, B, and C. I'm going to use the dollar select to do this. So I'll say dollar select equals full name, comma, annual income. And so you'll notice down here now what I get back in my results for properties is I get back just those two fields, and I'm not getting any of the extra stuff. So if I'm trying to optimize and ensure that I'm only pulling the optimal amount across the wire, that's a good way to kind of streamline things to pull that back. The other thing that I mentioned is the metadata. The metadata, if we pull that back, we started looking at it earlier. I'll kind of bring this up and talk to this a little bit now. You'll see this come back again later in some of the sessions where we're consuming this. The metadata provides all the information about the entity. It's not the CRM metadata. It's actually a standard format that's used. It's the EDM format, Enterprise Data Model. What that does, you might represent this if you've done any entity framework development, for example. The same conceptual model in entity framework uses the same syntax for defining that layer of the model that OData uses. And what you're able to find from this, you'll find entries in here for each of the entities. You'll find the basic type information, so you can discover, if I want to know what entities are available in their specific fields, this goes in more depth than the service document. If you recall, the service document we showed at the start allows me to get a list of the entities. This allows me to go deeper, get a list of all the attributes, their types, and you know any of the different pieces, whether they're nullable, those types of things. Now, for a CRM developer that might be thinking metadata and thinking about it as the CRM metadata, like I said, this is different. It does not expose all of the details of the CRM metadata, only the types and some of the basic information. So things like option set values and so forth aren't available at this time from the metadata in there. Okay, so let's go back. A couple other key things that you should understand about the OData endpoint. Authentication is only possible within the application. So what I mean by that, specifically right now for CRM, use of the OData that's provided by CRM, you're going to be able to consume that for something that's hosted as a web resource. So that could be a HTML jQuery or a scripting type thing, or it could be Silverlight. That really is the target audience for the CRM 2011 use of OData at this point. The associate and disassociate actions are performed as updates. The execute method is not supported. So the execute would allow, you know, you might be able to do requests just like you would across the normal CRM service. It's really geared more towards querying and modification of the data at this point. There's also a couple features that aren't implemented that are in the protocol for OData that you might run across. And when you do try these, you'll get an error trying to invoke them. The couple that we know about right now are dollar inline count, dollar count, and dollar format. Dollar format is used to specify, do you want atom or JSON? It's really, you're able to still do that, though. You're just not able to explicitly do it through the dollar format parameter. It does detect the content header, so if you're working with it from scripting language and you set a content header appropriately, it will return back JSON in the appropriate format for that script to consume easily. The inline count and dollar count are just limitations right now, so you don't have a way to get just a summary count from that. Hopefully in the future they'll be able to make those available, but at this time it's not there. Again, this is based on the WCF endpoint. It provides an extension of that to be able to be queried by client. It provides a consistent way of doing that, and you'll find that it's consistent whether you're consuming the CRM data, whether you're consuming one published by a conference session or something you got out of Data Market.